Thank you.
I think the community. Okay.
All right, we're recording now, and it looks like cameras are working again, and hopefully, Greg, you're able to see us and hear us. This is the Finance and Governance Committee meeting. I'm Kate Carlo, the chair, and I'm here with council members Kathy Hogarty and Deshaun Quinn, who are members of the committee. It's Monday, June 12th, and we're going to begin with the business agenda 1A, which is a monthly general fund update for April 2023. You're catching up. Tony Fullerton, our deputy finance director.
Good. Okay, so this is the April general fund expenditure summary report. Just getting right into it. The general fund department expenditures total $24.3 million through April, which is $1.1 million above the allocated budget of $23.3 million. So that's new. That statement is new. Normally when we say this, we're under allocated budget. So this is the first time in a long time we've been over. The overage is due to a difference with the fire contracted services, specifically quarter two contracted service invoice of approximately $3.3 million was paid in April. That payment was budgeted to be paid in May. So we just paid it a month early, and so that's why it's tilting the scales there. So when I review the budgets, I kind of try and look at the budgets from three different viewpoints. I look at the allocated budget, the percent to year expended, as well as the changes from this year versus the prior year. So I feel like looking at it from three different viewpoints and seeing if the answers make sense, kind of triangulating is what I'm trying to do there, get an honest assessment of the status of the budget. So starting with the allocated budget, all departments are within their allocated budget except for fire and city council. So we know what fire is. That's the paying of the contracted services a month early. City council, it is due to a council retreat. So there was a budget through April for city council of about $3,700. The retreat was about $11,000. That was spent in March. And so that's the single item that pulls the council over.
So the city council created an overage.
Yes.
Okay.
It is identified, though, and again, it's just through the, it's the retreat, so what are we going to say about that? Okay, so percent expended through the year. So the end of April, that's at 33%. There were only two departments that were higher than that, fire and public works. Again, we know about fire. Public works, it is attributed to a project which was the Kennedy Cottage demolition. And the fact that public works is under allocated budget, it lets us know that this project was something that was previously identified, budgeted for. And so while it is higher than the percent to year, we knew about it in advance. So it will be within the budget. So that's that. Moving on to 2022 compared to 2023. So we do expect departments to be higher in the current year than last year just due to inflation. And so I try and look at large spikes, things that are higher than 5% and $50,000. And so as I go through these, all departments, with the exception of fire, was in their allocated budget as previously identified. And so when we start off looking at the mayor's office, so they are higher than they were last year at this time. The fact that they're within their allocated budget lets us know that these expenses were previously identified for and budgeted, but I do look and see what they are. And they are made up of an increase in attorney services. Economic development had some consulting services for the economic development strategy. I think that vendor was Community Attributes, name rings a bell. And then admin, which also falls under administrative services within the mayor's office, not the admin department, was higher for tuition, some salaries, and then some business travel. So it's easily explained there. The administrative services department also is higher than last year by 5% and over 50,000. And it's primarily due to online services, online subscription services. So things like Office 365, DebtBook, CardKnox, Eden, those sort of things. The online services is just significantly higher than prior years. And then the other department, police. We've seen this in the past. It's the same sorts of things. It's salaries, it's overtime, it's dispatch services, an increase in jail services and insurance. So these are the things that raised it over last year. And then we've talked about fire before. But I guess I'm going to just reiterate that because they're within the allocated budget, we know that we expected this, so it's not a surprise. I also look at the expenditures by category, another big chart. And on that one, when I look at the total services, when I look at this, the only category that's higher than 5% and I think $50,000 is the total services. And so I drill into those total services and see what they are. And so we're talking about professional services, we're talking about rentals and technology services. And so professional services is primarily solely fire. These costs that are reported now under professional services were previously reported up above in salaries, overtime. And so it's just a movement there. The rentals are the fleet vehicles that have been purchased. And then technology services is the online subscription services. And so generally speaking, all departments are within their allocated budget. Looking at the percentage of year, they're within 1 to 2%. So the percentage a year is at 33.3 at the end of April. These departments came in primarily 35.3. So they're pretty close within there. As a result of that, there are zero budget amendments that have been identified now. Mm-hmm. And then I want to just wrap up with this one last thought. You hear us talking about allocated budget a lot. That is probably one of the largest internal controls that finance has implemented to ensure departments remain in budget. And specifically how that works is by having the departments allocate their budget by month, which is new this year, it required them to go through a thought process of what are expenses, when do we get those expenses, and report them in those months. So by them taking that additional time to do that exercise, they're more in tune with the budget. And then as we go through this budget every month and see how did they do compared to that, it again is a conversation. And just through that conversation and thought process, they are in tune to the budget. And as a result of that, as of now, no budget amendments are identified. So this is through April. We'll have May in a couple weeks. I think we can say we're off to a good start, though, for the Schiffer General Fund. And we'll stop with that.
Council members, questions? Council member Hogarty.
No question. I think the comment, the reporting the budget by month, it's really good, right? Because then everything has to be accounted for in one place, and of course it's going to be moving around, shifting around, right? But then the other thing is that every month you're going back and revisiting, and we're all busy, right? There's probably a lot of things you could be doing other than scrutinizing your budget, although that's very necessary. So I know we've had these kinds of conversations before, but I just wanted to say that again, and I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Councilmember Flynn?
Yeah, I just made two questions. One, I appreciate the triangulation because it helps with the questions that I had beforehand. But thinking about allocated budget, and we talked about like anticipated variance and then no budget amendments. But thinking about, let's say, the increases, let's say for the administration on economic development, was that anticipated, and was that anticipated this month? I mean, how? So why does it stand out? Because I know it's an increase, but I also know this was anticipated and that investment in the consultant. So is it they come a month early, it was a little bit more than they thought, or so being able to figure out the triangulation, but also what it's telling us.
Yeah, and so for the, up in the mayor's office, we can see that they are within their allocated budget. Mm-hmm. They're under. And so I am now looking at it from a different viewpoint, understanding, hey, what else could be going wrong here? What else could be the problem? So looking at it compared from last year to this year, mm-hmm. this year it's going to be higher expenses. It was anticipated, and it's anticipated in the proper month. And we can see that because they're within their allocated budget.
Right.
But when we look at what's bigger from this year to last year, that by itself is not as important because we expect things to be higher as years go on.
Yeah.
But if we saw that also high, as well as we saw the allocated budget out or the percent of expenditure, well, now there could be a problem when it's just one of those three. It's easy to explain. And when I look at this year compared to last year, when it's higher, I'm just drilling and looking for a problem. What could it possibly be? And so this is not, the economic development was just part of it. Attorney services was part of it.
Yeah.
These are things that are planned, and we can confirm that by the allocated budget. So it's just one of three components that add to it. So by itself, it doesn't tell us a lot.
Yeah, and one, I appreciate the explanation. That's how I heard it. And I love the transparency part, because even though it meets all of those things, you're also saying that this time last year, here's what our expense was. And last year, they hadn't done the economic development. They haven't onboarded the consultant. They were doing kind of scoping then. Yeah, I think that answers all my questions. I did have a question, but you made clear in the presentation around why the city council was over this year. Thank you.
So we're showing department heads how the budget works, and we're showing them the real numbers, so we're getting used to what their expenses and funds, etc. And you're going to come up to a point where you're going to, at least, you know, for amendments, start thinking, I think, in June, no matter what government that I work for, it's time to, like, say what I want for the next year and explain what things are going to cost. So as they're hitting and seeing these patterns, and you see, because I zero in on subscription to services, especially with IT, they went up X per cent. So are they factoring that in to what they're going to spend next year? Obviously, it's going to be at least this much, and then throwing in a certain contingency amount because nobody stands still and everybody's taking advantage of the time and raising rates on everything.
Exactly.
So are they now, do you go back and do that, or do they go,
it's a combination, because we don't have the expertise. As an example, for the online subscriptions, we have to go back. But the really cool thing is, with our new ERP system, when we built the budget, we are drowning in details.
Yeah.
So when the budget was pulled together, we asked people for not only give us your line item budget, but break it down by what you're looking for. So we can actually go back and take the example of subscriptions.
Right.
We can look back and say, here's what IT said they thought they were going to spend on subscriptions in 2020-24. And if there's a price adjustment that is out of our control and there's going to be an increase, we now have a much better justification. We can go back and say, we budgeted X, it's really Y, and so this is why we need the budget amendment. So we'll be able to come back with a much, much better explanation.
Good. And I'll just keep drilling down the IT thing. I've been in places where we've been everywhere from practically a scratch sheet on paper, they just track it on a grid chart, to an Excel chart, to where I work now. It's a very big system, so we're actually loading into a big major system. But they're actually saying, this vendor charges this much at this time, so that we can look ahead and go, these subscriptions have come through. Because I've been in organizations that are fairly large, where they weren't tracking any of it at all when I stepped in. And it's much easier to do your budgets if they track what comes in, when, and get the pattern. It's actually in the contracts. But for some reason, nobody keeps track of what's going on in the contract. So you just get it into a predictable pattern. That's right down to all your lease agreements for photocopiers and everything else that you do. I assume you do some of it in some way or another.
We do as much as we can with the limited staff we have, and it's always a learning process. You know, every time we go through the budget process, we get better and better. And now that we actually have tools, we'll be even better at it. But it's a work in progress, absolutely.
Okay, and then the paid in April, what we should have paid in May. Is that just a hiccup? I mean, time our payment?
No, it's a timing difference. So this is the first year with a contract, so we didn't know which month the bills were going to come in. And so just for my own transparency, I did the budget for that. So I allocated to be March, June, and we got billed earlier. So next year I can go back and adjust it, but I'd rather be transparent and say, you know what, I thought it was going to happen in X, it happened in Y, and we'll make the adjustment next year.
Okay. And then the last one's a little high level. When you said, I love that you said a gauge. It's like almost a man of reviews financing at a certain threshold, and I'll look higher and look, drill down deeper and ask more questions. I mean, most people I know in governance just go to the big numbers.
Right.
So good that you have the threshold. Do you have a goal that, like, maybe a year from now, it might be, I don't know what your percent was, half,
yeah,
2.5% and $25,000 over, because you're getting better and better detail and you can actually be concerned of.
Yeah, so I think when it comes to forecasting, right, we want to be within 3%.
Yeah.
The reason why I choose 5% is, well, the reason why I chose it right now for this year is, for governmental, things should be steady and to the right. And I figure 5% is pretty standard either way. However, as we start to get better, I would like us to drill in at that 3% level. I think that's very good forecasting, and I think that's reasonable. So, yes, as Vicky says, as we get more information and see more patterns, which is what we're able to do now with the new system, yeah, we should drill this in a little bit better.
Yeah, and I was at the 3% as well. So that was the only goal of my question was. So
yeah.
Starting a little broader, and it's not too bad. You learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
Helps us ask questions. But you're just going to get a little tighter. It could be cool.
Yeah, but I think we also have to take into consideration inflation, right? So if inflation is 10%, we should expect a 10% increase or in there. So I think there's a lot of other factors that we've been taking into consideration to maybe fine-tune what that variable is that we look at, and then be able to define why we chose whatever percent we chose.
And I'd like to add just one thing for clarity. So when we speak to council, those at the highest level charge of governance, you know, we want to speak at a higher level. We don't want to be in the weeds, but we want to be able to answer specific questions. And so it's getting a good mix of speaking high level, but having an understanding at the details to answer those questions. And so that's what we're working on. I'm working on just figuring out.
Okay. And the last question is, in January, you were trying to help us figure out, you know, you got to narrow the amount of reporting down on what happened more and more. And I can't remember if you said a month and a half or 2 months and a half would be the best we'd ever be. Are we at the point where we're the best we're ever going to be, or?
So, no, we're not at the best we'd ever be, but we.
Meaning, you know, the frequency of,
yeah,
how far from, you're reporting on April things.
Yeah, and so how we have it set right now is into June. When June ends, the staff has until July to report, and then we report out the following month. To get them to report out quicker is, I think, something that we want to do, we're striving to do. I think we're pretty busy still with the rollout of Finance Enterprise with the current staff. So, no, we're not as good as we should be, but we're also experiencing or identifying efficiencies as we go and as we run the system better. So more to come, better to come. But we're just, I guess, doing it incrementally.
I'm not even asking to do it. I just kind of got lost on what the deadlines were. Where I'm at, we're going to die by the month end, so we just got May back, and so all of our staff reports are reflecting that. And here we are, X days into June, so that somebody can review it by halfway through June. That's all. So I didn't know if you're trying to get that close, or it's not reasonable if you're not ready. So we don't want bad numbers either, right?
Good.
Okay. That's all I have. Any other questions or comments from anybody? Thank you for the report. We move on to the honorary street designation for Jim Hangerton. Little Humphrey, our legislative analyst, we're going to take this up. It's on page 7. Discussion over.
Thank you, council members. So as the chair mentioned, starting on page 7 in your packet, as you are well aware, the Hagerton family approached the city about an honor or about a naming to recognize former Mayor Hagerton. Perhaps Councilmember Kuller can speak to this, but there's a whole binder of reference material highlighting his contributions to the city, which I know you're all very familiar with. Last year, you deferred this decision until you could pass an updated naming policy because what we had in place was extremely outdated and not very helpful about actually moving through a process like this. And so I've cut and pasted relevant sections. So criteria for naming city property is a list of 8 items, and then a process for honorary street designations. And so honorary designations are subject to the same criteria. You want to make sure that the person is a significant person in Chippewa's history. It also, something that was really important to the council last year was an open public process. And so what you have in place is an open public comment period of 30 days that would be advertised broadly, including notification to all members of the city's boards and commissions. And then once you're ready to make a decision, you would review any public comment received. So that's in place now. And in 2023, a new suggestion has emerged, which would designate South Center Parkway between Sekulah Parkway and South 180th Street as an honorary Jim Harrison Street. I have a little map showing the length of the road highlighted in yellow. And he was involved in many developments and projects in the Sekulah Urban Center. So with that, I will turn it back to you for discussion about this idea.
I think I'm going to embellish the introduction a little bit by saying Carol had and I had a long conversation about what was appropriate where. And she wanted to center it around the click attack piece. She didn't know how far north or south to go, so she picked, you know, from where the turn in the road is, from the parkway all the way down to, so it's basically, start naming that, Bahama Breezes down to the Claim Jumpers. And I don't know, forgot to ask how many signs we have to post, but just imagine the intersections that there are there. All we're doing is putting his name on top of the street name of South Center.
I think it would probably be below. I'd have to double check that. And may I ask?
Yeah.
A question. In just a previous personal conversation with you, there was an idea that it wouldn't necessarily require signage at every intersection. I don't know how much that costs, but that wouldn't be cheap. And so maybe.
So we got to kind of figure out what it would cost.
Exactly.
That makes sense. She was amenable to maybe just from click about that because they don't want to give you the whole road. She said, well, maybe from click a tap down the Claim Jumper. You know, what? It's kind of up to us to come back. It's important to us to say, less roads, but I think one of the questions we might want to come with, and I'll stop talking about you guys talk comment, is, you know, what are the cost of signs? How many of them are there? The last thing I'm going to say is, at one point, she was remembering when we opened Click at the Tap and how there was a little ribbon cutting and everything up there. We talked about how dangerous that might be, given today's traffic and no constructing stoppage just right before the ribbon cutting. And now she's comfortable with having something like what Joe Duffy has on a sign presented to her or family in the council chambers, so we don't have to do the whole thing outdoors, which makes it a little easier in terms of safety and planning and ability to execute. Council Member Quinn, comments, questions?
Yeah, I read this a couple times. This all makes sense. Thinking about just looking at the map, and the considerations, the pros and cons of the cost of signage, but also visibility. In my mind, this is the most visible section, probably to Macy's. And to me, it's one of the most significant projects because at that point, the LID was theoretical, but it was huge. And getting other people to help pay for it was also huge and unprecedented. And if you go to the click attack, it is a display of graphic engineering, but also ripe for opportunities to really highlight that we were able to get over that threshold to getting it passed. Because again, we were looking at a number that was crazy that we weren't going to be able to fund. I think as you get further down, you kind of lose the effect, and it's more meaningful because you got to go to a stoplight or you got to turn right. You know, you got to go to the next stoplight, go left or straight. That's probably the most visible intersection in South Center. So that would be my thing, just balancing the cost with the intent and visibility and also the impact of this particular project. Now, obviously, this is representative of a full body of work, but I think this one took a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of lobbying, and a lot of work. And as I said before, it's theoretical until we got. So that's where I'm at. Just really balancing the kind of cost and there's a continuity piece too. Like again, as you go, this is all kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
phone, ice cream, you know, donuts as you get to the lane. And then why is everybody stopping at red light kind of thing?
Yeah.
So you'll lose the effect, but up there, there's this, you're captive.
Mm-hmm. That was a big project, a Flick Attack project. And so Mayor Hagerton was so instrumental in that. And so this looks like a really logical place to have it. Would be right in there in that Flick Attack area. I'm going to pull that down and look at like the big picture. That's a little over 100 years. We have had other people do significant things in the past, and we will have people do significant things in the future. We don't have a lot of roads in Tupelo. So this is what my thought is, that definitely it's a Flick Attack exchange and surrounds, but I would say maybe down to South Center Boulevard and just leave the rest of it, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future and who we might want to honor with a very public roadway. The Flick Attack to me is perfect.
Yes.
Down to South Center.
So I get a little lost when you say South Center. So do you mean?
I mean Strander Boulevard.
Thank you. Okay.
Strander Boulevard.
Are you comfortable from Bahama Breeze down to that intersection?
Yeah. Because that would encompass the whole area.
Yeah. So we have some related street. And then it connects to another namesake.
And it goes through the intersection down into to the intersection of Strander, which is part of it, and then up to Bahama Breeze, because that makes sense. I mean, it's kind of part of it too. So that's what I think would be great.
Additional thoughts. So our conversation is from basically the Parkway, I think is the name of it, in front of Bahama Breeze, from down there down into the full complex intersection as you make the turn on Strand and Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have the handkerchiefs. I don't think it's as much as you wanted, but I think what we ought to do, if it's not a big staff thing, is just add up how many signs we would have had to come up with. And I have a feeling that will become significant all the way down to Flame Jumper. And I agree with Deshaun. I think it loses its essence the further down you go.
Mm-hmm.
And just to know, you know, she was even comfortable with having it go clear down into
the Dollar property.
And I said, boy, they might want to name those streets. And she says, they have a name down there. Maybe they have a Sagali Roadway or something down there. So, but still, kind of a heavy development that they're focused on, and they might want to reserve that. And I think a lot of things dissipate in meaning once you get past, you know.
Pretty much,
to be honest, yeah. Because after that, you got different street names that actually have meaning, and I don't want to detract from some of the pioneers and things like that while that's happening. So.
I think that sounds really good to me, that session.
Okay, so the old guard, we agree. The book, although Deshaun understood immediately what it was about, is a labor of love by Carol.
Mm-hmm.
She was very concerned that other members of the council who were newer on the scene didn't know what his body of work was. I doubt that people will peddle through it, but just by the thickness of it, I hope somebody does it a little bit of honor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of copies of photographs and articles and things. But I think she wanted to make it clear this is a guy who was really doing a lot of things there. His mayor, time as mayor, and frankly before. And I feel like this is a good compromise. It makes more sense to me than what we were talking about before.
I think a part of it too was just because we didn't act on it, I think she anticipated that there wasn't interest or awareness, frankly, from the new folks, who just there wasn't.
Yes,
I've been through. It's been updated since I was in her living room going through it. But I think that's that. So I think what's important is what we talked about around the impact, but it's really the meaning. What is it? People will forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yes.
And this project is. Like I said, we had no answers. until we just kept going. And like I said, it was theoretical. It was like Commerce and others were saying, you know, this is the way it should work. But it's like we had to have businesses actually contribute to something. And I think that was near or around the economic downturn. But we did it. And so that thing is significant. Every time I pull up, that's what I think about. Because we forget. But that is horrible.
It was horrible before.
And then design is just a trip out kind of coming out. Not that I figured out
but it worked.
Exactly what lane to take that left or.
Yeah,
I mean, it was really
when you go through there. Yeah.
It works, but still, it's like,
too far. It's like, same as when I go on the CSAC, I have to think real hard about departure is arrival, which lane, where I'm going to be.
Yes.
But the signs are there for the new and for the old. We just have to remember. And it's, but it is an amazing solution.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly. All right.
Yeah,
you have to do this.
It's not here.
I feel like we're walking a mile in the shoes of the employees today.
Yeah,
with the temperature
absolutely.
Here. Okay. So those are our two items. They were discussion only. Laurel, I'm listening to you. Where do we go from here?
Well, I think I have direction to proceed with a 30-day public comment period to see if there's any public reaction to this proposal. And I'll get started on that. And then I would prepare a resolution that would be scheduled through the process. Sometime this summer.
And then we'll circle back to Carol to let her know what it seems like right now. And one thing we're trying to do is not have her, you know, even though we're not going to do Rubicon, I sort of made a pseudo promise not to have her going through this in the middle of the dead of the winter on a pouring down rain day. So we aren't going to be outside for this Rubicon cutting, but if we can try to make this happen before autumn, it would be a nice thing.
Well, on the 30-day, part of the reason kind of why we're here is I think it requires a little explanation about, you know, once it's in the memo, of why we would do a 30-day. Now, maybe, you know, a decade ago, they wouldn't do that. But we're doing it because this is a significant adjustment, but it also highlights the contribution. So just being able to kind of have a blurb on the 30 days as well. Isn't that we're trying to unravel it or that not everybody's on the same page. It is a process that we feel will be clear for folks about our process.
Mm-hmm.
Not only now, but
as part of now, you know, the city, I mean, the council made a process, different part.
Yeah.
And we're committed to public outreach. We are. Yeah, so that it's consistent. Yeah. So all this consistency.
Transparency.
Yeah.
Or a reliable process we agreed to.
Yeah.
We're trying to make it clear to people what we're trying to do and that people have alternative ideas, they can bring them in. And I think that's all valuable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, unless they've been coming to us, that's our packet for the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.